T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
What are you guys doing here?
What are you doing here? Wait, are you doing a podcast right now?
Welcome to the Rob and Holly Show podcast.
First and foremost, I want to talk about the album that is coming out. I need to know all the information about it. I need to know, where were you? What were you thinking? What were you drinking when you guys decided all of this? Is a big question.
Well,
up to you to where you would like to go.
We wrote the album over, you know, the span of probably 6 months.
Okay.
And we recorded half of it. We recorded it in two halves. We put the first half out last year,
yep,
in the fall, and this is the back seven. I feel like we've hit a new level of songwriting craft.
Why do you think that is? How do you think?
I don't know. I think probably just doing it enough.
Okay.
Prove it, man.
I can't. That's just like your opinion, man. we wrote a lot of songs for it too. So this is the distilled best of the best, I think, for this album. I don't know. I think also there's like a tapestry of bringing the songs together and picking the ones that felt like they were of a similar vibe.
Okay.
Maybe not even necessarily the best song, but like what fits into this motif, and it's the last resort, right? It's kind of like a place.
And you're truly making like an album that you can, because you guys actually have a really good knack for that, where you can listen it to it from the beginning to the end, and every single song is good, but they all like seem to fit well with each other.
That's kind of our number one goal with making an album. You know, it's not really that focus on the radio single so much. You know, I mean, we're trying to write great songs, you know, and great songs sometimes are radio singles, but yeah, it's really about the full arc and narrative of the album.
When you put out the first 5 songs, is it because you cannot wait any longer to hold off on all of the songs? Is it too exciting, or is there a thought process in that?
It's just kind of a interesting way to roll it out. You know, you give people this kind of initial offering, and the majority of the songs are the ones that were held back. I don't know. It's just kind of, it's a more, a little more of a modern trend, I think, in releasing music. But it seems to be working.
It is working. And last night was so much fun, and John Party came out, and oh my Lord, the song is great. Everybody went crazy. Can we ask, what were you thinking? What were you drinking when that song, like, how do you guys become friends with John Party? You went on tour.
Is that
tour?
A song? What were you thinking? What were you drinking? It kind of sounds
where
like
were
it.
You? What yeah. were you thinking?
If we write it, we'll give you co-writing credit.
I would love it. Cause that's how we start asking about the whole behind the song.
What we were thinking, hard to translate, hard to process, to be honest with you. It was really surreal. I think last night was one of the biggest moments for our career, and the timing of it all, coming up essentially Midland, really not having a lot of new stuff at radio for a long time, and coming to the pandemic, and to release this, you all right? to release this music that essentially is kind of like, you know, Jess, Cam and I's love song to our influences and our heroes,
yeah,
and that's what you're hearing on this. But speaking of that, to have, you know, a friend like John Party come out and do the song Long Neck Way to Go, to share that with John, it's just so much better with friends, you know? I mean, we're a band and we share everything. So John feels kind of like a, you know, like a fourth member of Midland. So we're still processing. I mean, it was people that weren't there, if you could watch it on YouTube, I mean, it was massive. It was that, you know, you're kind of Rolling Stones Beatles moment. It just felt,
I want to say epic. Massive. I want to say epic, but I know that word gets overused a lot, but I would agree.
It's cause appropriate in this context. It's a pretty majestic place. You know, you have the mountains and, it's very expansive out here. You got a lot of dust in the air, which is tough as a singer, but it makes for a hell of a sunset. And to be on the stage at the sunset set, to me, is the best, slot you can get in a festival. I would way rather play the set we played last night than, to be honest with you, than to be the headliner.
Right.
So we kind of got, all of our wishes were kind of granted last night. That's what it felt like.
Doesn't it feel good though? Cause that song is so new that it was so well received. Cause crazy, right. Yeah, like, is that, I feel like that's not typically normal for a lot of artists when you're playing brand new music,
way.
Right?
You know, you remember, you know, Led Zeppelin rolled out Stairway to Heaven before they released Led Zeppelin 4 and people booed them. So, it could go either way. I feel like this is kind of undeniable though, because the energy of the song. We've been playing it now for like the last couple of weeks out live, and it's been getting such a great reaction. It feels like a song that has been around for a long time.
It's like,
you
been
know,
in the ether, yeah.
I would 100% agree.
What were you drinking? Like, how has that not been written before?
I don't know, but I usually ask, where were you? Because I always want to know, were you in a car when you thought of the idea? Were you like driving? Were you in a room?
Well, we were Zoom writing.
We were lucky to write with Rhett Akins, with Thomas Rhett's dad.
Yeah,
Rhett is
Ashley Gorley.
But in this case, I do believe that it was Rhett that had Long Neck, Way to Go. He had the hook and he had the melody and the progression. And
he's a friggin' force. That guy.
Yeah.
And it was cool. And it was awesome to get to also be on the night with Thomas Rhett, who's the headliner. And, you know, Thomas took us out on tour and to watch, you know, TR's rise. And I think it's really interesting too, TR's returning to his roots. Mm-hmm. And, you know, to watch his, you know, maturation and where he's kind of going. I think we're kind of in similar arcs,
okay,
you know,
yeah,
becoming dads and you know, I guess maturing a little bit, although it doesn't look like it as I'm having a Bud Light and it's 12:30 and I'm already pretty buzzed.
Yeah, you're like, dads literally, that's what they do. That's like normal.
Shout out to our dads.
My dad certainly did.
You need a lawnmower right next to you and I feel like it would be more natural and fine.
A cigar, yeah.
I love it. I want to compliment you guys on your podcast because I find this to be a great.
Which one?
What? I didn't know you. Wait a second.
Well, we have one podcast and one digital radio show.
Okay. So
you like set it straight.
Yes.
Yeah.
So the one, and I was talking to like one of your managers and he was like, I produced it. I was like, this is a great piece of audio. You guys do an amazing job. Like it's really, really, I just find it to be really, really good. What is your favorite episode? Do you have a favorite that you're like,
what is
this
your favorite
was the very
Set It
best.
Straight, the podcast that you can find?
Season one or season two.
Season one or season two.
Mine might be a tie between Garth Brooks and Matthew McConaughey. They're both great for different reasons.
This is season two, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah. McConaughey, you know, we'd all just read his book, and there's so many nuggets of wisdom in there. He's such an intelligent guy, and he really brings it. When you talk to him, like he is like zeroed in, his energy level, it's crazy. And so is Garth. And the story we got to tell with Garth too is just like
the 28 hour. What is it? 28 hours he signed autographs. 23. Yeah, okay.
Without taking a bathroom break.
Yeah. Jess can't go for 10 minutes without taking a bathroom break.
Well, I did just slam 4 bottles of water like back to back once I got here.
It goes pretty quick.
One of my favorites was with Darius Rucker. He's another guy that's has been running our flag since the beginning. And
that's the one where everybody told him not to go.
Everybody's like, you'll never, you know, you don't belong here. And he was like, Okay, right. This is who I am. This is what I am. And it's a really inspiring story. And it's, you know, again, we got to have not just our heroes, but now we're fortunate enough to call a lot of these people our friends, especially Cameron and Matthew McConaughey are like, they're like inseparable.
Basically the same guys.
That's insane.
Really?
Yeah, we're inseparable friends, yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Finish each other's sentences. Yeah. And, yeah.
That's adorable. Can I ask you guys a weird question that I asked you a long time ago when we, my very first interview with you, and my co-host Rob was with me, and his face looked like it was about to explode because he was like, I can't, please stop. But it's a very serious question.
Oh boy.
So there's three of you, and there are three chipmunks. And I want to know.
Look at the I can see Cameron like the he's no, like.
I got a good.
Who is Elvin? Who is Simon? And who is Theodore?
Okay, that's a really good question.
I don't know the difference between the chipmunks.
Okay, so the bad boy was Alvin.
He's the troublemaker.
Okay. Theodore was the tall one. Simon was the tall,
nerdy one, very smart, analytical,
and Theodore was the kind of chunkier, little,
chunky, like, wimpy one.
Lovable.
Yes.
Yeah,
I'm Theodore.
You're the Theodore of the group?
I'm the Theodore of the group.
Who's the troublemaker? Why do I pick you as the troublemaker?
Cameron's Elvin.
I guess I'm Elvin.
Yeah.
Because he was the youngest one, too, I think.
Yeah.
And yes.
Jess is Simon.
That was this actually, is easy. This kind of tracks.
Here's what's funny is like years ago when we first interviewed you, you guys argued over who was going to be Theodore. Like literally there was an argument.
I must have been arguing for argument's sake because I don't know anything about the chipmunks.
It was great.
Theodore is like the lovable. Everyone wants to be Theodore.
But he's also really hungry all the time. Well, and Alvin's, you guys argue about who is hungry.
Well, I don't know.
Alvin reminds me actually. He's kind of like a little just blonde bad boy.
Mark, you can't be Alvin.
Like
though.
He reminds me a little bit.
Mark
of
takes
Mina.
His hat off to show that he's now blonde.
He's like, blonde bad boy.
Wait a second.
I just want T.J. Osborne to know that he inspired me to bleach my hair.
Oh, that's where it
looks good.
From.
Yeah, it looked. Can I ask you another question? I wish Rob was here because Rob.
I do too.
Do you remember? You know what Rob looks like?
He's a gorgeous specimen.
Gorgeous specimen of a human. He looks like a Ken doll, but I feel like a lot of times what he looks like. Sometimes people can't get past it to find out like who he is or what he's about or what he does. Does this? You guys have a similar kind
it's
of
a lot
situation.
Like when people
going?
Look at Jess and they can't see past his muscly physique and
I can tell you that.
Well, no. I think all three of you guys have a certain aesthetic, and I want to know if it is. Do you feel like it's a gateway to your music?
It's a when desperate
see
cry for
it, or
help.
Do you think sometimes people are like, "This is what they look like"? You get preconceived notions. Which way do you think it goes?
Both.
Yeah. Do you feel it? Is that like a thing?
No, I mean, like, it's just you get both. Some people look at a picture of us and they go, okay, I want to investigate what that music sounds like. Right. Some people look at it and they go, I don't want to investigate what that music sounds like.
I mean, if you're an accountant, you dress up and put on your appropriate
men's warehouse, your best men's warehouse suit.
If you're a country rock star, then you should dress the part. Have fun. Like,
which is also men's warehouse. How many
how many careers or positions do you just get to express yourself and just be weird? That's the funnest part.
This is about it. Yeah.
It's just about expression. It's just about having fun. And it's just about seeing we never talk about it, but to see when somebody walks out of the back room before we go on stage, what they're wearing.
Like,
and sometimes it causes a scramble.
So wait, there's no coordination?
No. Zero.
In fact, last night I was joking before we went on stage that we were in three different bands.
We always say that one of us is the grower, one of us is the smuggler, and one of us is the dealer.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what we don't talk about it, but in one way or another, that's what it always looks like.
You're like, and here, it works.
And then you got Luke on stage with his cutoff sleeves.
We're like the 18. We look like the 18.
The 18.
You need to come out with that.
Love it when a plan comes together.
Ooh, that could be cool.
A little 18. Yeah. So my phone, whenever
you're
I
giving us gold today.
I'm sorry, you're welcome. When I plug it into my car, it goes with it because the 18 comes up A on the thing.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And so the second I start driving, it's like, here I come.
I gotta buy that song so it's the first one comes up.
Now I gotta hear it.
No, that's the Magnum PI.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's
actually we should come out to Magnum PI.
No, dude.
Where is my music? 18
is good because it's.
If I could have traveled back in time and had anybody's career, and just and God was like, "Hey, man, just be," where I would have been.
This is good.
That's pretty good. Okay, that's pretty good.
Do you remember this one?
Dude.
It's a great song.
Okay, but...
is this Magnum? Oh my god, remember when we got stuck in the what were we watching? Knight Rider? Loop? And we got stuck in...
The montage is going. He's got the Detroit hat, the helicopter
going.
We started watching.
Cameron's dad is the same photographer for the new Magnum PI.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was gut-wrenching for me because my dream, if I could have been one guy, I would have been Magnum.
Oh, God.
Like, to go and film for 8 seasons? Okay, Knight Riders.
Oh, that's Knight Rider.
Dude, we got stuck in a Knight Rider loop the other night. We started watching
it's
episodes.
So good.
It was insane.
It's so good.
We were crying.
We watched the pilot. The pilot episode was really compelling.
Yeah, it was
It was,
really
like,
good.
Super deep.
The one with the blind lady?
Yeah, dude. It was so good, dude.
Remember the one with where he was ripping through the park and Kit the car kills all those bad guys?
Yeah.
By, like, smashing doors?
Man. Wait, David Hasselhoff, super popular in Europe. Is that?
Yeah, Germany.
Yeah,
Germany.
What is?
The Hoff.
Okay.
Yeah. You guys are going to Europe in a European tour?
A European tour.
Yeah.
What are you most excited
to
see?
That was good.
What are you most excited to go? Like, do you get to travel when you're.
What is this?
What the heck is that?
No, what's this?
This one's way over the top.
It's this way. This is a full intro. Building.
This is a long intro. Right.
Oh. Still don't know? Yes, no? Do you know?
Hold on.
I'm gonna get it.
Miami Vice?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, Jan Hammer, dude. Yeah. Remember we watched that video?
Yeah.
It's so outrageous.
Yeah, it's outrageous.
He's the antithesis to like a rock star. Like, yeah. He's not like a. Yeah. Anyhow,
that's a good one. That's a really good one.
The 80s theme songs were amazing.
They were really. Like,
this
they still
thing.
Are standing up the test
MASH.
Of time.
MASH is one of the all-time great.
Oh my god,
MASH is good too.
Like, people don't. Now it's all about the visuals, it's all about the like, whatever. Right. You know what's really good, though, is that song from Narcos, that intro.
Oh, it's so good.
I love that song.
I don't know that
Incredible.
Song.
Narcos is, like, the best show.
You know who had a great one was Mad Men, too, had an awesome theme.
Mad Men was amazing as well.
With the
we
with the drums.
An album of us. We should do a show for some day and just do all.
Like, I feel like this is a Midland brainstorming session.
Yeah,
and I'm pretty happy about it.
We should do a tour with us just playing, like, Jan Hammer.
Mm. That's good stuff.
All right, before you
did I pull out Airwolf yet? Have we done Airwolf yet?
No, you haven't. You have not. I need two more behind the songs from you because otherwise I'm going to get in trouble.
Okay.
Behind the song, where were you? What were you thinking? What were you drinking for burnout? And where were you? What were you thinking? What were you drinking for drinking problem?
Exact same thing.
Yeah, those are. You know, this is how you know that you. Paid your dues in a former life. Is that our first? Is this Airwolf? Yeah, Airwolf is dope too.
Shuffle.
Yeah.
All synth.
They're all so good.
It's
everything
like
was
dance
so
party.
Synth. Everything was so just cocaine and synthesizers.
Yeah, it really was. Those guys
and they were just making dynamite. We were the very first time. We were not co-writers.
Okay.
I don't think I'd ever co-written until we went to Nashville.
Okay.
For the very first time. And all of us are songwriters and we write a lot of stuff on our own. And for me, it was like really unsettling. I was like,
uncomfortable.
Yeah. What is this? Like, this is such an intimate thing. Like, how do you
express your feelings to a random person?
And literally, at the second co-write that we had was with Shane McAnally and Josh Osborne. And we spent the first 2 hours having Coronas and just talking.
Oh.
And talking about the music that we loved. And we very quickly realized that there was this kindred spirit and that these were two of the funniest guys we'd ever met. We had no idea how talented they were or, you know, what an incredible guitar player and arranger and composer Josh Osborne is. And what an amazing lyricist and kind of phrasing specialist Shane is. And Drinking Problem was the first song that we wrote together, and it actually came together really, really fast. And it's not a traditionally arranged song, you know, with the post-chorus and stuff. Like, that's a really weird element, you know, to do that. You know, they keep on talking. That's a full, like, that's a full, like, R&B kind of thing. And then we, the next day, right?
It was the next day.
We went back and wrote the next day, if I can remember correctly. I have a terrible memory, but this one I do remember. We went back and we wrote Burnout, which we just kind of took that vibe and that energy. And we all kind of knew the mission. Everybody knew, like, we're writing the B-side to Drinking Problem. If this was back in the day and we just
released
it, it would be Drinking Problem and Burnout. And they are sister songs. And it all came from that weird serendipitous, you know, just kind of session.
Yeah.
Where we were getting to know each other and fleshing each other out. And it was, you know, it must have been just like when Glenn Frey was listening to Jackson Browne work out, you know, Doctor My Eyes over and over again. Like, it just felt like I want to work with these guys.
Like, that,
you
know, works. Like,
this there's a synergy here that makes sense. And now it's just become, you know, it's just Cam and I, like, we're the band, but we have our cast of collaborators, I'd say, of kind of characters that we work with a lot. Shane and Josh are on there. You know, they co-produced the album with Dan Huff and Red Akins. You know, getting to add guys like Ashley Gourley, and, you know, we've got our buddy Jonathan Terrell that, you know, Jess and Cam write with a lot. And the idea is just to keep finding kindred souls, that people that have a shared vision for the kind of music that you want to write. Because ultimately, you want to take the stage at sunset on the main stage at Stagecoach, and you want to play music that is meningful to you, and then it translates to the crowd, and then it's like, okay, this is a great job.
Yeah,
this is really cool. And with Shane and Josh, it was just an instant shorthand. It was really easy.
Well, it was so good last night, by the way. And I was like in the midst of the crowd. We're like,
can I tell you that I just kept looking at trying to make eye contact with Jess and Cameron, and Jess and I made eye contact multiple times and kind of had the, like, and Cameron, I knew, was like focused, dude. I could not get Cameron to lock eyes with me, dude.
I was thinking the entire time.
I was locked in on
the timing. I was looking at the stage clock.
Yeah. Cameron was stage managing.
I was really worried.
You were doing the business end
of things. Trying to actually not. In fact, at one point I was like, please stop thinking about it. Don't obsess. Like,
but you were caught up in the dream.
I was
in the dream. You're living in the moment. Yeah.
I was kind of experiencing it, and it was actually a little bit overwhelming.
Yeah.
And I will say it by no means was like my best performance.
I would disagree.
Well,
it was good. I mean,
it was emotional.
Really, it was amazing.
I was experiencing it with the crowd in real time. And I kind
of
felt like
I felt
like I was having an outer body thing, and I felt like I was at a Midland show.
Yeah. You're like, wait, I'm a fan too.
Man, these guys are good.
I was trying to have that macro thing, like looking at the actual horizon.
He was macro dosing.
Yeah.
In the sky. that too. Looking at the sunset, looking at, you know, just looking like all the way at the last, you know, thinking about how far away the last people that you can see are, you know.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, just staring at the stage clock.
Like, stressing out the whole time. We only got one more minute. All right, I'm going to play one more song. Because you were playing. I just want to leave you with the song that Rob and I.
All right, well, I actually just had another song that I'm going to play for you guys. Will you play that one? And then I'll
You know
play
that your Midwest accent is never more
prominent.
Tellable than when you say Rob?
Rob. Yeah. All right, I'm going to leave you this. We discovered this. I feel like you guys.
Sounds like Rick James. Is this Rick James?
It's not.
It's a theme song.
It's Luke Millian. Listen, we discovered it by typing from there, okay?
I mean, doesn't every search start with that?
This is how we start.
What year is it?
Definitely 1982 with
the cover?
Oh, it's from, is this from, what was the Arnold doc? Pumping Iron. Is this
the song from Pumping Iron?
That's the theme song from Pumping Iron, I think. Yeah, yeah, it is. Okay, let me play you this one.
Listen.
Shout out to...
Arnold talks in this whole thing, but it takes a minute.
This is from Pumping Iron.
So it is from Pumping Iron.
This is from... Can you imagine how incredible it is? Like when I'm on stage, it's like I'm coming all the time. When I'm off stage, it's like I'm coming.
And
when
I'm on stage, I'm like... Yeah, he goes down and up, down and up. And I'm like, we should be working out right now. This is
Arnold's the best. California should let Arnold come back and be the governor again. And they should make an exception and let Arnold Schwarzenegger be our president. That's what I would say. I swear to God.
He was positive.
When we all lived in California, Arnold was our governor for 8 years, and I thought he was the best. I went to church, Catholic church in Santa Monica for Easter, and I had my whole family come and visit me.
Yeah.
I lived in a trailer, so my family didn't come and actually visit me. Right, they met me at the church. And my dad's from Poland, and Arnold's from Austria.
Right, that's very, yeah.
My dad's a huge fan of his, and my dad actually used to be a bodybuilder back in the day.
Really?
In the 80s, yeah, he was like, yeah, did the whole thing.
Buff.
And a big dude back in the day. And we were sitting in the back of the church. And Arnold walked in. And my dad immediately, Arnold like was walking in with the security. My dad immediately grabbed and shook his hand, and the security grabbed my dad.
No.
Of course, dude, he had like his secret service detail. And Arnold, you know, put his hand on the security guy's.
Did he say like nine or something?
And
or like
the priest is giving the Easter sermon, and my dad is talking at full volume voice to Arnold for like 5 minutes, and it was so awkward that I actually had to walk outside.
You were embarrassed?
And now, like, I'm so happy.
Because it's a great story.
It's a great story, but listen to this.
This is just goes to show you, your parents will embarrass you at no matter what age. What is it?
Yes. You know it?
Hold on.
Watch. Dude, just a bunch of cartoon bears taking drugs to like bounce around and go crazy.
No, I love them. They were great.
Gummy bears are good, but nothing was better than Tailspin. Tailspin was the best.
Tailspin was good. Yeah.
Tailspin was the best.
That's good. We've covered a lot today.
Yeah, a lot.
I feel like
we've covered
a lot. Too much. This has been a wonderful album takeover.
Jess is spinning midland
again. It's going to be some significant editing, but it'll be wonderful.
This is the fourth time I've heard Jess playing Long Neck Way to Go.
He loves it.
I have no recollection.
We said it all. We're good. I think we did it.
All right, great.
Thanks for listening to the Rob and Holly Show podcast. Follow us at Rob and Holly Show and listen weeknights on Odyssey Country and the free Odyssey app, AUDACY.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.